brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Amen. The text for the sermon is the epistle lesson, which was just read, so you can turn to it in the bulletins, especially the first and the last verse. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Christ is all and in all. Amen. If you know the Easter acclamation, join in it with me, please. Alleluia! Christ is risen!
He is risen indeed. Alleluia!
Now, I gave you fair warning. The people at Trinity on Saturday night stumbled over it a little bit as I snuck that on them. This is not the Easter season, is it? That doesn't change the fact that the fact of Christ's resurrection, the joy of Easter for us, is the basis for our text from Colossians. It's the basis for the Christian faith and life. And it's the basis for the partnership in the gospel that the saints at Mount Moriah and at Trinity join in today. Now maybe there's still more questions than answers for what exactly this partnership means for Mount Moriah and even for Trinity. Truth is, none of us know exactly what it will all look like as we go down the road, as we move forward in this partnership together. But isn't life like that? Think of all the twists and turns your life may have seen over the years. Or maybe you think you've got your future planned out for the next 10, 20, 30 years. In the back of your mind, you always know something may happen. Something outside of you. Something that you think is good. Something that brings you great sorrow. Something from the world around you that heaps up on you. Maybe, just maybe even a surprise from God that you never would have seen coming. But whether in our individual lives or our life together as the church, we can always be confident moving forward at all times and in all places. Why? Well, this partnership in our lives, like all things in the church, is about one thing, and one thing only: Jesus Christ and Him crucified and risen. That's the one thing we must continually hear. It's the one thing we must set our minds on. We must seek above all things, because that's what enables Christ to be all and to be in all. Because He is risen and ascended and ruling at the right hand of God. It's what enables Him to be the one in whom all things in the universe hold together. The thing that makes Him the one who is the head of His people, the head of His church. St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He said this: "What we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." For as high as we hold St. Paul in our minds as God's people, and rightfully so, He always pointed people to the one thing needful: Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And so that's what this partnership in the gospel of Jesus is all about: Jesus and Him crucified. And that gospel continuing to go forth and come forth for you to hear, for you to grasp on and believe in, for others to hear with you and through you. Because if we stake our claim or do our work on any other foundation, the whole thing crumbles and falls. Jesus Himself put it this way in the Gospel of Matthew: "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock." Our lives, whatever they face, however battered they might be, they stand on Jesus, stand firm. "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell. Great was the fall of it." And so we pray to God and praise Him that He builds our faith, His church, and our partnership together on Christ alone. For only He is all and in all. Colossians 2, just before our text, St. Paul describes what God did for us this way: "You who were dead in your trespasses, God made alive together with Christ, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us." Yes, we must remember this truth, this gospel truth, that Jesus died to forgive sins, that He died to cancel the record of debt that stands against us. We must remember it because the gospel, That truth of Christ's death and resurrection is only for real, true sinners. Sinners like you and like me. Now, the list isn't exhaustive, but St. Paul lists some of those things today. As we look at the text, we realize that the truth is that you have set your mind on earthly, worldly things and ways this week. The truth is, I haven't lived the life of Christ in me. I've done what I wanted to do, and not what Christ in the Spirit would have directed me to do. You and I have fallen into the idolatry of self and stuff. You and I have misused God's good gifts. St. Paul describes sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, sex and stuff and speech we have misused against others. We've seen others as deserving even of our anger, our slander, our obscene speech, whether to their face, behind their back, or under our breath and in our thoughts. Yes, in these and in many other ways, you and I have been real sinners this past week. But it's just those sins, the sins that sit here, the sins that weigh on your conscience, it's just those sins that Jesus died to forgive. It's just that debt that you owe to God that you cannot pay, that Christ paid and canceled for you by his death and resurrection. Yes, you have sinned. Yes, you are a real sinner, and so am I. St. Paul encourages us to remember, I am the chief of sinners. But Paul also points us to Christ, the real sinner, the real Savior for real sinners, the true Savior, the one who defeated all things, who defeated sin and death and the devil for you, so that your sins won't keep you from eternity, so that your sins won't stand against you on the last day, so that when Satan tempts you or seeks to throw your sin and your shame in your face and say, you're not good enough for God, you can point to the cross of Christ and say, Satan, be gone. You've been defeated by Jesus. He beat you for me. And this all is true for you, brothers and sisters, because you have been joined with Jesus. Yes, when you were baptized, that's when you died. Colossians 3:3 says, you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. At baptism, that happened. You died and were buried with him, but also were raised to new life with him. Now, it says that life is hidden. So that means in this world, sometimes we remain in that suffering and in that death, the things that the world looks at and wonder about in our life. It also means that the Christian life doesn't always come easy. We still have sin lurking within us. Following Jesus doesn't come naturally. We're still surrounded by the way and thinking of this world. We're taught by it each and every day as we're immersed in life here. Our perfect eternal life that is ours even now, it's hidden with Christ in God. But it doesn't make it less real. The Holy Spirit works it in you. Each day, as you have the opportunity to read God's word, to read of your Savior, to read of your salvation and his eternal things for you, the Spirit draws you back in repentance and faith to the reality of your baptism, the reality that you died with Christ and you have his life even now for you. You're no longer a son or daughter of this world. You're a son or daughter of the Heavenly Father. You have a king and a kingdom that is not of this world. You follow different ways, ways that come to you from above, revealed to you by God, of how he intended life in this world to be lived. And yet that's going to look and sound foolish sometimes when we live it in the world, as we proclaim the hidden and eternal life in Christ, as we seek to help people know the glory of God in the face of Jesus. As people see our sins, see our stumblings, our shame, and see our desire to turn away from them, and say, why bother? Why not indulge in every passion? Why not indulge in every sexual desire? Why not indulge in covetousness and getting more and more for you? Why not indulge in anger and offense and outrage? And then we speak to them of the gospel. We speak to them that we know we are real sinners, that we need real forgiveness. And they say, well, your God is hidden. I can't see your God. They'll think we worship a figment of our imagination, that we're behind the times, or that we're on the wrong side of history, and maybe you've heard other phrases like that. Yes, your life is hidden with Christ in God, but although it is hidden, it's no less real, and it's no less here for you today. and the forgiveness of your sins proclaimed in the word spoken and read. In the baptism, we remember in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the God who placed his name on us and brought us into his kingdom. In the Lord's Supper we receive, Jesus comes to you with his powerful, real, gracious presence. That he might be your real, true Savior, giving you real, true life today. Now, sometimes you might wish for a simple program. Maybe just certain rules and regulations, 3, 5, maybe 10 things to check off the box. To say, if I do this, this, and this, that this week, then that will make me a good Christian. If we do this, this, and this, that will make us a good church. Maybe we too wish we had a 10-step process for getting congregations back on track. Say, hey, if you do all these things exactly right in the right time, that's what it'll take. But Colossians 3 presents us with a different story. Colossians 3 reminds us that the Christian life isn't rules and regulations. It's not things that we just put on top of this life that are a checkbox and then just let us go about the rest of our daily life. No, the Christian life is a putting to death of earthly things, a putting away and taking off of the old self, the old speech, the old ways of dealing with the reality of our lives. And in their place, the Holy Spirit puts on you the life of Christ. And he gives you joy and hope and peace in it. And he gives you knowledge of God's will and his ways for every situation in life. That's why when Paul lists the things you are to put on, he says, put off the old self. He says, put on the new self. And then he just goes on to describe it. He doesn't lay out a program. He doesn't lay out a process. He doesn't lay out rules and regulations. No, he lays out these things. He says, put on them as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. And don't you forget that's what you are, brothers and sisters. Holy ones of God. Chosen ones of God, beloved by God. That's who you are. That's what you are in your baptism into Christ. Never forget it. He says, as that, put on compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. If one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. That's quite a list, isn't it? But it's what the Spirit calls us to as his people, as Christ's people, each and every day. There's not a rhythm to life for it. There's not, say, you do this on Mondays, you do that on Wednesdays, and that on Fridays, and you're good to go. This speaks to each and every interaction of every day, doesn't it? Every interaction with your spouse and your children. Every interaction with your neighbors and your coworkers. Every interaction with your fellow church members is an opportunity to put on compassion for those who are hurting and broken around you. It's an opportunity to put on kindness even when you haven't received that kindness from them. It's an opportunity to put on humility and meekness, to put on patience, even in that grocery line that's taking far too long on a Saturday morning. Every time we step on each other's toes or ruffle each other's feathers as the people of Christ, it's a chance to bear with one another and forgive each other. The Christian life, the life of the church, is about putting on this love, this peace, this joy, this thankfulness with each other and with everyone we meet. We're not going to do it perfectly. That's why we receive the forgiveness of Christ every week. And yet we know an ultimate joy, a joy that the world cannot know, a joy the world cannot see. But it's mentioned in our text. St. Paul writes, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. The joy of and pleasure we get from some stories and some movies is the twist at the end, right? The surprise ending, the thing we didn't see coming. In a way, brothers and sisters, we've had that spoiled for us. We don't get a twist or a surprise ending at the end. The joy we have is of knowing the way history turns out. The joy we have is in knowing that Christ is appearing someday. We don't know when, but he is appearing someday. We've seen the end. It's foreshadowed. It's sure. It's certain in Jesus' own resurrection. And that he will come and raise you from the dead. So one day it will be shown to all that Christ is all and in all. And you will rejoice to see him face to face forever. Then all the struggles of faith, all the struggles of life will be vindicated, and will also be a thing of the past. As God renews all things, he unites heaven and earth and finally does away with all sin, all death, all struggle, all the devil, that we might joyfully live with him forever. So let's keep hearing that good news together, brothers and sisters. Let's keep seeking and setting our minds on those things, God's things, eternal things, things pertaining to our salvation and the way of God in this world. It doesn't matter, as Paul uses the list of Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, we might say today, it doesn't matter whether you're black or white, rich or poor, smart or not, old or young, his eternal life is for everyone. For Christ is all and in all. And this section ends with the exhortation, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In the name and for the sake of Jesus, your Lord and Savior, may the peace of Christ be with you always. Amen.